We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
To the texter in the 864 who says, Willie P thinks people actually want to hear his opinions, LOL. I got you fooled because you haven't changed the channel yet, J-E-R-K. Welcome in. It's ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Why do people say crap like that? Seriously. Just change the channel. I don't need you. Won't miss you. Jerks. Hope you're enjoying yourself today. I am. It's been a fantastic Thursday. Frank Martin did a fantastic spot in the opening hour of the program. We're going to play some of that back here for you later on in the show. He basically put the state of California and their proposal on the name, image, and likeness in the proverbial body bag. While also, once again, I want to be sure to clarify, while also speaking out saying that he does want the players to get more than they're getting now, but he is not necessarily in favor of the way that that's going to look under the open model that California is proposing. So I think, again, he's very, very much somebody who at least wants to see some more oversight from that, and also did a little back and forth with Coach K on the NABC, too. 1 hour from now, we're going to talk to Brad Brownell, Clemson men's basketball coach, get an idea of what he has cooked up for the opening part of the Clemson basketball season. A lot on what's going on with the Braves and the Dodgers. Braves fans today, I feel for you. That was not something that I saw yesterday that you could literally say is what I would call good. It was very, very bad. Very, very bad. The question I asked this morning, and it was something that literally I had last night, it would just keep me up at night because watching both those games just made me sick. Which loss is a harder pill to swallow for its fans? Getting shot in the head like the Braves were, or getting mortally wounded and left to bleed and die like the Dodgers were in the eighth inning after Clayton Kershaw had two pitches turn a two-run lead into a tie game? And at that point, you had no hope for winning the baseball game. Had no hope. Anybody who's watched baseball long enough knows after the Nationals did what they did, you knew they were winning the baseball game. It was just a matter of when. 65% of you think it was a harder pill to swallow for Braves fans. I think it was a harder pill to swallow for Dodger fans. I think it was a harder pill to swallow for Braves fans only because of the fact that if you went to that game, if I'm looking through from the prism of having gone to that game, you sat in traffic. You took off work. It's a 5 o'clock start. You're driving to Northwest Cobb County. You're in Smyrna. You park the car. You make the walk up the boulevard there. And you get into your seat probably a couple of minutes after the game started. And before the chairs are even warm at SunTrust Park, you're down. And not only are you down, you're down an insurmountable deficit. And that's a hard pill for any fan base to swallow. And like I said in the open, I blame more of it on managerial malpractice than anything. I don't think Acuna helped. I don't think Freddie Freeman is beyond reproach when it comes to criticism. You have a lot of places where you can throw your pitchforks today if you're a Braves fan. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. That's 844-477-3776. Text line is open at 71307. Put ESPN in the body of your text and be sure to read we'll be sure to read them on the program on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, at Willie P Style, and at Diesel on Radio. Delvin from Fountain Inn leads us off on a Thursday. And Delvin, you are on ESPN Upstate, pal.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Dodgers is more given with Kershaw has been like in the postseason, so I think they're more painful. As far as the Braves go, unfortunately, they just became a verb because you know what's going to happen now, Willie P. Every time somebody scores like 10 runs in, they're going to say, man, you just got 14 errors.
That's difficult. That's very, very difficult. That's difficult.
Yeah. He's going to be a verb now.
Not only is he a verb, but I think that guy is I don't want to say he's shot, but that's a career ruiner right there for you, honestly. That's a career ruiner. I find it hard to believe that you come back from something like that. That's a very, very difficult spot to come back from. And not only that, but it's a part of this game that I think is undercovered, if you will. Because here's the thing. When it comes to being a manager in 2019, you have more information in front of you than anything, than at any point in time in the history of the game. More information in front of you than at any point in time in the history of the game. Analytics, splits, day, night, lefty, righty, with the shift, without the shift, all kinds of stuff at your disposal. This game is not won by the numbers. This game is not something that can be totally explained by numbers. Too much random crap happens in baseball. Too much. Like yesterday would be considered random crap. So the biggest thing, the biggest hurdle you have to overcome as a manager is how do you minimize random crap? The randomness of baseball. How do you minimize the randomness of baseball? Here's how you minimize the randomness of baseball. Don't put Julio Teheran in the 10th inning of Game 4. Notice I put the microphone away so I could yell that. Julio Teheran, that move lost them not only the game that they were playing, but the game they play the next day. That's a total, total, total give up move. And the fact that he tried to say, oh, we couldn't use Freed. No, baloney. Garbage. Baloney. The one thing you have to have as a manager is feel. I said it in the open. Feel is what gets managers fired, or a lack of feel is what gets managers fired. It got Mickey Callaway fired. It got Gabe Kapler fired. It should get Dave Roberts fired because he has had no feel in the last two World Series and in last night's game against the Nationals. It got Joe Girardi fired as the Yankee manager. That's the one thing. They all have the same information. They all have the same data. So it's not like anybody is doing anything that is proprietary to them. All those numbers are out there. The Fangraphs stuff, the WAR, the VORP, the JORP, the FIP, the BABIP, all that stuff is all readily available. But it's how you take that information and combine it with the feel of the game what makes a manager. All that stuff is great. All those numbers are great. And I'm not going to sit here and say that those numbers have no merit. I'm not this person who's saying death to analytics. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when you eschew feel for analytics, that is when you get burned. Or when you misread feel for analytics, that is how you get this messed up. And that's the part of baseball that I think has been forgotten and undercovered when it comes to this sport in 2019. It's the kind of thing that gets magnified in the postseason. Think about from the Tampa Bay Rays perspective in this game tonight. They are using very, very proprietary ways to overcome a lot of disadvantages. They do not have an elite pitcher on their roster. Charlie Morton is not an elite pitcher. Glasnow is not an elite pitcher. But guess what they are doing? They are using everything at their disposal when it comes to different relievers, different guys coming in different innings, a Johnny Holstaff approach to basically nickel and dime nickel and dime the Astros to death. And getting a little bit of offense, just enough offense to make things happen. That's how you win baseball games. With feel. Not with numbers. Not with splits. Not with pitching your best pitcher if you're Mr. Snitker. Pitching your best pitcher in only one game because you don't feel like you can win inside your own ballpark. That was the stupidest thing about this entire series, is that Mike Soroka pitched just one freaking game for the Atlanta Braves. One. How? How does that happen? Don't give me you paid Keuchel all this money. Keuchel was a terrible matchup against the Cardinals. He always was. A contact pitcher against a contact team. Guess what's going to happen? Contact. Guess what's going to happen? Marcell Ozuna hits two home runs. Paul Goldschmidt hits a home run. Let's see. A team that makes a lot of contact and doesn't strike out a lot. Let's see if we put a guy who is a pitch-to-contact pitcher up against them in the postseason in two games. Uh-oh. Oh. And again, it's not the slam Keuchel. It's just a bad matchup. There are other teams. That's the biggest indictment right now of Alex Anthopoulos and how he's run this team as a general manager. This is a team that's able to win in the regular season. It's a good regular season team. So are the Dodgers. But they're not a playoff team. They're not a team that wins in the playoffs. The Cardinals are a team that wins in the playoffs. They've got metal. They've got a manager who knows feel. They got a manager who knows how to construct the bullpen and construct the rotation. He made sure that his best pitcher, Jack Flaherty, was pitching when it mattered the most in Game 2 and in Game 5. And here's the other part of this that he did, is that he managed for today and not tomorrow. Brian Snitker, with putting Julio Teheran in Game 4, tried to manage for tomorrow when he could have closed out the series today. And instead of closing out the series today, he ended up losing today, tomorrow, and the next day. And that is why the Braves are going to be playing golf tomorrow instead of the Washington Nationals. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. Let's go to John, who is on the line. And John, you are on ESPN Upstate.
So, I did not get to watch the Braves-Cardinals game yesterday.
Thankful for you.
I do feel bad for Braves fans. My mom is a huge Braves fan. You know, I agree that coach made some bonehead moves, especially pitching Teheran in the 10th inning in Game 4. It doesn't make sense. I firmly believe that he should have waited and saved him for Game 5. But I did get to watch the Dodgers game, and I honestly feel like if I were a Dodgers fan, that would be a harder pill to swallow, because your ace comes out in the 8th inning, and all you got to do is get 2 innings with not giving up any runs, and back-to-back pitches, he gets a solo home run from Rendon and Soto. And then Howie Kendrick coming in, hitting a grand slam, a former Dodger. Yeah, I just feel like if I were a Dodgers fan, it would be harder for me to take that than to take, getting blown out in the first inning. Now, I am a Yankees fan, a hardcore Yankees fan, and so I'm definitely pulling for the Rays tonight.
I understand.
But what's crazy is if the Rays win, there is a possibility that we could be looking at a wild card World Series.
Oof.
And that's, yeah, exactly. And obviously,
I don't think Park Avenue I don't think the folks in New York want to see Rays Nationals.
Oh, no, that is absolutely true for a multitude of reasons. But and one of those being that we haven't been to the World Series in 10 years, and it'll be the first time since inception that if we don't get there, that we won't have been there in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason. And obviously the other reason is because we want to win.
Understand.
But you mentioned earlier Joe Girardi getting canned because he lost the feel. You know, I see what you mean, but the last year that he was the coach, the Yankees were supposed to be in a rebuilding, quote, rebuilding role.
Yeah.
And they almost got to the World Series. So I don't see the justification for canning Girardi that year. You know, obviously he hadn't taken the Yankees to the World Series, but, you know, I still had a hard time with that. Awesome. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. So
appreciate it, John. Thank you so much. Not for nothing, and I'll be as respectful as I can with this. I hope the Astros win, and I hope the Astros beat your ass. That's what I say, because I hate the Yankees. Hate the Yankees. Was that respectful? Was that about as respectful as I could have been? Was that about as respectful as I could have been?
It's about as respectful as you can be as a New Yorker.
It's about right.
That's how people say hello in New York.
Yeah.
Hope somebody beats your ass. You could have just said hi, but you didn't have to say that.
There was, I don't know if I should share this. So when the Cardinals beat the Mets in 2006, there was a fan video. This was the Beltran strikeout game, and there was a New Yorker who yelled out as the Cardinals were celebrating on the field. There was a Met fan who yelled out, "Hope your plane crashes." Oof. That was brutal. That was rough. I don't endorse that. But I do hope the Astros beat the Yankees' ass. I really do. 844-GSP ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. We will come back and talk a little football. We haven't done any football. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes. We've done no football except for talking about how Dabo doesn't like reporters texting him and someone who didn't wipe his feet before he walked between Dabo's ears. We'll come back and we'll talk to Mike Griffith, our first look at the opposition research. We'll talk about the Georgia Bulldogs with Mike and whether or not this team has met the preseason expectations that I and many others have foisted upon them. That comes your way next on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just don't let people walk between your ears with their dirty feet. I literally was talking about that with people at the bar the other day, and it was just, I just found that completely and utterly chaotic and just crazy. That Dabo, that guy's funny. It is now time to do a little opposition research. Again, we've been very baseball heavy. We did a little hoops earlier. We're going to do a little more hoops later. But let's do some football. South Carolina and Georgia, Sanford Stadium, Dooley Field. It's an insurmountable test, in my opinion, and it's against a team that I think, at least coming into the year, had the most talent of any going into the season. Man who covers the Georgia Bulldogs for DogNation.com, the AJC. My pal Mike Griffith joins the show on ESPN Upstate. What's going on, Mike? How are you, pal?
I'm good, Will. How you doing, man?
Long time no chat. So I had a lot of high hopes for this Georgia team, and it's not like as if they haven't met those particular hopes, but I'd like to see some more cosmetic nature to their play. Obviously, the Notre Dame game was probably a lot more hard-fought than I would have liked to see it, but where do you see this team right now going into this contest with South Carolina?
Well, I think Kirby's managing the season. I mean, it's a national championship or bust kind of season for Georgia. I mean, they've won the East. They've won the SEC. There's one step left to take, and they got to have guys healthy at the end of the year. And to do that, you got to develop some depth. Now, I would agree with you, Will. I thought the Notre Dame game was a game that where maybe Georgia underestimated Notre Dame's ability to stop the run. And I know I did. You know, they ranked 120th against the run after playing –
you know, New Mexico and some other no-name opponent. And, you know, they came in there. It was almost like a rope-a-dope. And you say, wait a minute, this ain't the same run defense we saw at Louisville, I guess, was the other team that played. And you say, this ain't the same run defense we saw. The Irish had a bye week, and they beefed up, and they did a real nice job. And Georgia had a pretty conservative game plan and still won. I mean, let's be real here. They lost one of their starting quarterbacks the week before. They lost the other on the second play of the game. And they, you know, fumbled a punt inside the 10-yard line and still beat Notre Dame, even with I thought, you know, a bad game plan. So you say all that, and I don't think you're going to see Georgia come out, you know, and play another game like that. I think that kind of sharpened the edge a little bit, sharpened the iron. You know, you go on the road, you play under the lights in the SEC, you're going to take some punches. And Tennessee threw some good punches after a bye week, knowing all the personnel with Jim Chaney, and still lost 43-14. So I do think it's a very good Georgia team. I think Kirby's managing the season. I expect this to be one of those games where these teams are wrestling back and forth early on, and, you know, you think it's close, and it's 13-10 one minute, and, you know, probably 31-13 in the end, something like that.
Not that I don't think we expected Swift and Herrien. I think we both expected Swift and Herrien to get more carries than Zamir White, but you asked Georgia fans about Zamir White, and then a lot of people are wondering kind of whether he's, you know, on a milk carton or in witness protection. How surprised are you that his production, or at least his carries, haven't been up where Herrien's and Swift's are?
Not surprised about White. You know, he was a guy coming off of 2 ACL surgeries, hadn't played football in a year and a half, and more surprised about James Cook. You know, James Cook may be the hardest guy to catch in the open field on the Georgia football team, only one carry the last two games. And, you know, a guy that, you know, you start to wonder a little bit, you know, could he look around if he's not happy? Is he touching the ball enough? We've seen him used as a decoy. He's an explosive player. You know, with Swift and Herrien, it's you don't want to take a guy like Swift out. So good as a receiver and effective as a runner. We've seen he's got that home run speed. And then last game, Brian Herrien was on fire, had that 41-yard run. And, you know, he's a senior, and, you know, he's going to be a little bit more familiar with the playbook, a little bit more experienced than Zamir White. I think Zamir is very much similar to the kind of player Brian Herrien is right now. Now, Zamir is only a redshirt freshman, and I expect that he'll get better. And, you know, as the season goes, get a feel for it. But remember what I said at the start of the segment, Kirby Smart's managing the season. And there's no reason to rush to Zamir White. Again, guy coming off 2 ACLs, getting used to playing football again. You know, 5 to 7 carries is plenty when the guys ahead of him are producing the way that they are.
Mike Griffith, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs for Dog Nation, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on ESPN Upstate. Let's do a little opposition research as the Dogs and Gamecocks meet this weekend in Athens. I know that when we spoke before the season, Mike, I said that a lot of people seem to think that this has the chance to be one of the best offensive lines that Georgia's had in recent memory, if not ever. They've met the expectations, at least there. What more can we see out of them once the competition and the days begin to become a lot lesser and the competition seems to ramp up?
Well, you know, you got to hope these big guys stay healthy if you're a Georgia fan. You know, so far we've seen Isaiah Wilson miss a couple games with an ankle. We've seen Kasala McKinley out with an ankle. You know, last year, I mean, heck, you had Ben Cleveland out. You know, so this is a line that's taking its lumps. You know, football's a rough game. You're going to get some guys and some ankles. And, you know, the good news for Georgia, not just on the O-line, but team-wide, no season-ending injuries yet. What can they do better? They can do better in short yardage situations. And down in distance, when Georgia's had 2 yards or less to go against Power 5 competition, specifically Vanderbilt and Tennessee, two of the worst run defenses in the league, they're 10 of 21. Okay, 10 of 21 when 2 yards or less is needed. Now, some people would say that that's on the play calling, and that's maybe some true. But I think some of it, too, has to do with the running backs they're handing to. Brian Herrien, 6 of 8 in those situations, Swift, 2 of 7. Now, this is an area where you might see a little more Zamir White. You know, he's a slasher and a power runner. And you might see some more creative play calls. Not that quarterback sneaks would be the most creative of all, but they haven't run one yet. So it's going to be interesting to see how Georgia handles those short yardage situations. Not sure how much you put on the O-line, but you got to think a little bit.
I know that Georgia fans are probably the hardest on their own, and, you know, something that I've noticed in my time back and forth between here and Atlanta is that they are merciless when it comes to criticism of Jake Fromm. You look at the numbers, it's really, really hard to argue how awesome they look. No interceptions, 77% completion percentage. How unfair is any real negative scrutiny on Fromm, or do you believe that it all has to deal with whether or not he performs when they get to the point in the season that they haven't passed over?
Yeah, I thought he played good enough to win a national championship. If that safety doesn't bite on Tua's head fake, they win a national title, and we're talking about Jake Fromm being a true freshman that leads his team to a national championship. So he played well enough to win the 2017 national title, and really I thought he played well enough last year. You know, if DeAndre Walker doesn't get hurt and they bring a freshman in that doesn't know what contain means, and, you know, Jalen Hurts is running around back there making plays and running around that right end, and, you know, if DeAndre Walker's there, those plays aren't happening. Georgia probably wins the SEC title game. So I don't think that Georgia's shortcomings have anything to do with Jake Fromm. I think Jake is a very, very good college quarterback who's got a shot in the NFL. He needs to continue to get better. What I've seen from him this year is, you know, really improved his ability to throw the ball accurately off the run. He's only been sacked once this year. He does a really nice job with his pre-snap reads and getting rid of the football. He is a championship caliber quarterback. If Georgia doesn't win the national championship this year, I'd be willing to bet you it won't have anything to do with Jake Fromm.
I know that we've been talking, of course, with Mike Griffith here from Dog Nation and, of course, Land Journal Constitution. We know that there have been some injuries along the defensive line for Georgia, not only with Davis, but also with Julian Rochester. How are they health-wise there? And not only that, is there any particular area of that defense that you would see vulnerable against a rushing attack for South Carolina that looked a lot renewed when they last saw the field against Kentucky?
Yeah, this will be the best running team that Georgia's seen. You know, Notre Dame came in there. I think they're 61st in the country in rushing. And I want to say South Carolina's 38th or 39th or something like that. But put the numbers aside. Notre Dame came into Georgia knowing they need to chunk plays. The Irish didn't really come in trying to establish the run. I'm not really sure. I know their best running back was out. South Carolina's got the best backs. I think that Georgia will have seen, you know, they had a couple hundred-yard rushers last week against Kentucky or the week before when they played them before the bye week. So I think that's an astute observation. You know, Georgia, that South Carolina has a very athletic offensive line. I know Will was talking about the pin and pull. I'd never heard that, never heard about that phrase before, but that's what he calls it with the type of offense they run where they pull those guards and try and create some space on the perimeter. And it'll be interesting to see how Georgia defends that. You mentioned Jordan Davis. He sprained an ankle second play of the game against Tennessee. I mean, they're saying they think he's going to be back, but, you know, I think it's more like we'll see if he's available and maybe could play. Julian Rochester did come back. He was a starter last year. He suffered a torn ACL either in the SEC game or the Sugar Bowl. You know, Kirby's not even sure if he suffered it in the SEC game. He might not have been diagnosed till the Sugar, but he had offseason ACL. Got back for his first game of the season against Tennessee once Jordan Davis went out, and I thought he played pretty well. But that front seven, while I think it is improved from last year, I think the linebacker is the most improved position group on the team. They haven't really been tested in the run game like I believe South Carolina will test them. So that is definitely something to watch. Gamecocks are pretty good when they find consistency. They've struggled with that at times this year, particularly against Missouri and Alabama. But if they can put it together and play a turnover-free game, I believe they can stick around because, as we've seen, you know, Kirby's not going to take too many chances until he has to. So I look for this to be a game that could stay close through the half, and then usually Georgia kind of diagnoses some weaknesses and makes those halftime adjustments. They get dialed in pretty good the second half.
Yeah, Mike, it's odd. You know, when they played this game 2 years ago in Athens, it was a game going into the fourth quarter, a two-score game, and then Georgia kind of pulled away. You mentioned South Carolina's run game. Where else would you think that this team might be vulnerable against South Carolina?
Well, they're special teams. I mean, their punter's been, you know, kind of shaky the last couple games. And then, you know, the punt return, you know, we saw that fumble against Notre Dame. And I know that's an area where South Carolina struggled with punt return. But, you know, special teams is always an area. You know, it's an area that Kirby says he emphasizes, you know, but you think about it, and it's cost Georgia. You know, we talked about last year's SEC title game. I mean, listen, Rodrigo Blankenship's made 11 of 11 this year. The last field goal he missed might have been the most important of his career. you know, he missed a 30-yarder that would have put Georgia up by 17 points against Alabama in the third quarter last year. That's a whole different ball game if it's a three-score game. You know that, Will. So I'm not suggesting Rodrigo's going to miss a kick again, but if we want to talk about special teams, we remember Justin Fields with that failed fake punt. That was a play they worked on every single week. Every week, Kirby set this kid up to be a hero. And when it's game time, he freezes up and snaps the ball late, and they don't execute. You know, we saw Georgia with a failed fake field goal against Auburn last year. We saw Georgia with a failed fake field goal against LSU. So special teams for Georgia, despite Kirby putting his best personnel out there, hasn't really been that special at all. And I think South Carolina does a pretty decent job with that. So I look for special teams as a potential area South Carolina can win. We want to see how well they run the ball. They need to run the ball to protect that freshman quarterback. You put that kid in long down and distance against his defense because, you know, Georgia's doing the havoc thing with the blitzes. You know, you put this kid in long down the distance, and this game's going to be over with before you know it. So they got to run the ball to protect him a little bit. And then defensively, they can't give up the big plays. You know, Jake's going to try and go downfield a little bit more often. You can't let guys like Cager and Pickens get behind you. And I think Will knows that. You know, him and Kirby, very similar when it comes to their philosophy. A little bit of difference when it comes to talent. But I'll tell you, man, Mighty Mo, you know, when momentum gets going in a game, you never know what's going to happen in the league. I mean, South Carolina's got guys on scholarship, too. And this ain't Will Muschamp's first rodeo. So if they get a little momentum with special teams and avoid the turnovers, you know, the Gamecocks will stick around and make it interesting.
I know he was close with Saban. Do you think he's closer to Muschamp?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's definitely closer to Will. You know, they were teammates for a year. And they, you know, the whole Valdosta thing. I mean, Will hired him at Valdosta and gave him that opportunity there as a DB coach, you know, when he was just getting started in his career. And, you know, Will was the DC when they brought him on at LSU, too. So, and they still talk. You know, they share, like I said, they share a lot of similar philosophies, similar background, both former Georgia players, safeties at that. So I think so. And just age-wise, you know, look, Saban's like, you know, dad. I mean, he's 66, 67 years old, man. Now, you wouldn't know it, you know, with the ferocity that he coaches with, you know, the way he's able to get around. You know, he's a guy that takes really good care of himself. You know, but at the end of the day, he's from another generation. I mean, Kirby Smart's 43 and Saban's going to turn 67, I believe. Is it on Halloween? I want to say his birthday's on Halloween for some reason.
Sounds
that's
right.
Coming up. So, you know, he'll be 23, 24 years older than Kirby. You know, just a different generation. Whereas I think Will was, what, 4 or 5 years older than Kirby. So, yeah, they're closer, but still, I don't know how close any of these guys can really be when you look at their work schedule, their time allocation, and what little time they have left for their families.
Of course, you can always see his stuff at the Dog Nation website, dognation.com, Landry on the Constitution. One of the best authorities on Georgia football is Mike Griffith. Always good to catch up with you, bud. Be well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Will. I appreciate the work you do, man.
Thanks, man. That's Mike Griffith joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. We'll come back. By the way, we'll do some opposition research with Clemson's opponent, Florida State. Ira Shoffel will join us 6:25. 20 minutes from now, Brad Brownell, Clemson basketball coach, after we had talked earlier in the show to South Carolina basketball coach Frank Martin. That'll be available after the show, by the way, in its entirety, if you missed it, on the Radio.com app. Remember, your phone is a radio. Be sure to add ESPN Upstate when you download the app as a favorite. Coming up, we will do a little bit more on the Gamecocks, the importance of the run game for Will Muschamp, and somebody who could be kind of a, I would say, ace in the hole when it comes to South Carolina, who wasn't a part of their major plans before the season, but it's a very big part right now. That comes your way next. Willie P. and Diesel here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, on the Radio.com app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Am I going to be impugned as a pariah if I admit what I just admitted to you off the air?
That you don't play much golf?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with not playing much golf. If you say you hate playing golf, that's, I'm sure there are a few people who would say, ah.
I don't enjoy a sport that I can't master. Now, granted, I probably couldn't master any sport growing up.
That's the thing about golf, is it's a lifetime of the pursuit of mastery. You want to be able to master something quickly.
Well, I let me put you this way.
Or at least be serviceable at something quickly.
I can't be serviceable. I can't find mastery. I'm nowhere close. I'm not even in the same continent as mastery when it comes to golf.
Yeah, the truth is it's just all in the hips. It's all in the hips. It's all in the hips.
Nah, man. Here's
and you got to waggle.
Well, here's my problem. I always pick my head up, like I pick my entire upper section of my body up and try.
You
know
how you fix your swing? Lift it. Just don't do that.
Yeah, I can't do that. It's my muscle memory just doesn't. You know, I feel like it's baseball. So much of the upper body is involved.
Well, you'll never be able to do it with that attitude.
You calling me out on my attitude now? Is
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
So you're saying I have a crappy attitude? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying you have an unwillingness to fix the thing that you know is causing you to fail.
It's not that I have an unwillingness. It's just very, very difficult. I don't have the mental capacity to get my brain to tell my body, stop doing this.
Mental capacity, intestinal fortitude, one of the two.
It's a mental thing. It's like Yogi Berra said, 90% of this game is mental and the other half is physical. Right? Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. You heard Mike Griffith. Fantastic stuff from him on Dog Nation, by the way. He said that South Carolina is the best running team that Georgia has faced. We asked Will Muschamp earlier this week in his weekly press availability how important the run game is to making sure that Ryan Helinski and the Gamecock offense is running on all cylinders.
I think it's really important to have balance offensively, because when you get too one-dimensional in our league against the schedule we have, it's going to be very difficult to move the football if you're just running it all the time or throwing it all the time. So to be able to create balance is really important. And that's something we want to be able to do. But I think there's a lot of things that go into it. The physicality of the game, you got to have talented runners, because you're not going to be able to put a hat on a hat everybody in the run game. Guys got to be able to run through contact, make a guy miss. So those are all things that I think figure into being successful running the ball. Obviously, scheme wise, you got to be right in your numbers and things, and those things certainly help. Number one, to help Ryan as a young player at that position, to be able to run the football helps an awful lot. So you don't get into a one dimensional. You change the launch point for the quarterback and those sort of things. So I think that's really important. But that's something we want to be balanced. I mean, that's what we want to be able to do. And then going on the road, especially in this sort of game, you need to be able to have some balance in the run game.
I think that Muschamp channeled his inner, and this is going to sound sacrilegious, he channeled his inner Belichick by basically junking everything on the game plan. When he realized that they could get 6, 7, 8 yards a pop against Kentucky, he basically said, we're junking the whole throwing game plan. The whole throwing game plan is going out the window, because we realize we can run the football at will against the Wildcats. So that part of it, that's why I don't take too much stock. I don't put too much stock into what Hlinsky did or didn't do against Kentucky. So I think after a while they just decided, you know what, we're just going to cut our losses. We're going to run the football 45 times. We're going to win the football game that way, and that's fine. Made it look like a very ugly game, and quite honestly, the game was a time suck. So if you left early of that game, I don't blame you because it was a time suck type of game. But they realized where Kentucky was vulnerable, and again, I found it very fascinating that Griffith said that this will be the best running team that Georgia faces to this point of the season, even after what Notre Dame at least looked like they were supposed to do or were going to do. In reality, they provided a lot more of a balanced offensive attack against the Bulldogs and put them to the brink a lot more than I think even the most ardent, optimistic Notre Dame fan thought that they would go. The injury to Dylan Wonnum will keep him out at least another 2 to 3 weeks at right tackle. Insert Jalen Nichols, who they were not afraid to run behind in many situations at right tackle. The true freshman made his first start against Kentucky, and according to Will Muschamp, they knew he was capable for big things when they got him there.
You don't ever know about contributing immediately till you get him here, but, you know, just very athletic, very powerful. And, you know, for a big guy, gets his hands on you, can move people, and is athletic enough to block the edge in our league. But then when you get a guy on campus, he was very mature in how he handles himself. He's extremely bright. He can learn. So those are all things you start to look for. He handles tough coaching, which is obviously at that position you've got to be able to manage and handle. And I think a lot of that goes back to maturity. I mean, you know, a lot of times playing as a freshman, you need to have an opportunity. You need to have ability. But so much of it, to me, goes into how mature you are and how you handle it. Because generally, young players always hit the wall at some point. And he's been a guy that's continued to work and progress and has put himself in a position to be a productive player for us.
Well, Muschamp on Jalen Nichols, very, very impressed with the way that he looked against Kentucky. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk coming up next. It's a story that would make Shania Twain happy. That's your hint. That's your tease. Next on ESPN Upstate. Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. By the way, this is another Florida or Ohio. You're on the L side of this here, Diesel, so we're going to give you an opportunity to get back on the positive side. A man who was disguised as a woman. Man, I feel like a woman. That's the Shania Twain connection there. A man disguised as a woman while robbing a bank behind bars after leading law enforcement officers on a chase through two counties. He was disguised as a woman when he entered a Chase bank and said he passed a note to the teller demanding money, implying he had a weapon in his backpack. The note, which was written in Spanish, said, "I have sufficient weapons to kill everybody here. Give me your car keys. I want unmarked bills and nothing electronic, because if so, I'll start the shoot." Only left with about $1,000. No one was hurt, thank goodness. That's why we do these stories. We don't do anything involving anybody getting seriously hurt or killed. A deputy was driving by when he ditched the disguise in the men's room of a neighboring Pollo Tropical. So I just gave it away for you. The deputy just noticed somebody coming out of the bushes. They tried to employ his taser, but then a foot pursuit happened and ended up in a apartment complex. And then actually stole the deputy's patrol vehicle and went away in the patrol vehicle. So we have a bunch of different things going on here.
Well, before you gave it away, I was going to say Florida anyway.
That's good. That's fine.
I was going to say Florida.
He admitted the deputies that he robbed the bank, stole the patrol vehicle, but he's a victim of circumstance because he did those things because he panicked and needed money. He also had a criminal record in Puerto Rico before he came to the United States.
It's pronounced Puerto Rico.
Just saying. I don't think he's a victim of circumstance. The head coach of the Clemson men's basketball team, Brad Brownell, comes your way next. There's no real way to segue to that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.